Hello everyone and welcome back to Going Purple with me, Lissy McIntosh, where we talk about serious F1 stuff in a not so serious way. Hi everyone, I hope you're all doing really, really well. I hope you're enjoying the summer break, although I guess if you don't work in F1, you're probably not enjoying the summer break because there's just no F1 to watch. But I hope you're all taking it as a time to just spend some time with your friends, your family, get your weekends back for maybe like 3 weekends of the year. I can't believe it's the summer break already this year. I mean, it's so cliche, but this year is just flying by. I am currently recording this in Nashville. It is chucking it down. Okay, I was meant to go in a really cool 2-seater IndyCar ride today, and I was so excited. I've been like thinking about it all week, planning it all week, and it's just absolutely pissing it down. Not to sound too British, but yeah, so that got cancelled. I'm gonna try and reschedule it, but yeah, I had a great day yesterday, aside from the fact that it was also, honestly, the heavens had opened. I expected to come to Nashville, get a tan, walk around in the sunshine, but no. It is a really cool city, though. I went to Broadway for the first time today. I've never been to Nashville. The only reason I know about Nashville is because of the Hannah Montana movie, I'm gonna be honest. But it was really cool to go down there. There's lots of lights, I went at 9 a.m. this morning, but I think there's like lots of bars and all this cool stuff. So I'm really excited to go and check that out. But yeah, I had a great day yesterday, mainly because I made my own cowboy hat with the Aaron McLaren guys. It was really fun. We went to this place where you basically choose out a hat and then you tell them what you want on your hat. I put some purple on it. It was a pink hat and I put a lot of purple stuff on it. Obviously, because go purple or go home, if you know what I mean. But I also sat down for an interview with the one and only Jamie Chadwick. Now, I, a few weeks ago, if you were listening to a diary of an F1 presenter, was saying, oh guys, I have the most exciting guest. I don't usually get starstruck by anyone, and I've never felt starstruck by a driver, but this guest, I just think Jamie Chadwick is the coolest person in the world. She is A, the loveliest person, but B, I think what I've learned from Jamie mainly is that progress isn't always linear. It isn't always step one, step two, step three, and we're there. It's trying different things. It's stepping sideways. It's gaining experience, because experience ultimately is the main thing that's going to help you progress, that's going to help you learn. And that's the main thing I've learned from her. And also to keep your head high and to be so positive. And I just feel, extremely inspired by her. So to be able to sit down with her and talk all about her new adventure in Indy Next by Firestone was very, very exciting. So yeah, we know Jamie Chadwick, multiple time W Series champion, but now having moved over to be part of the Andretti family. She was recognized by Forbes last year with the Forbes 30 under 30, which is an incredible achievement. And she is just one of the coolest people I have had the pleasure of chatting to. So if you can hear any rain in the background, you guys know why. My shoes were filled with water. I stepped in a puddle by accident. They still haven't dried out. But I'm going to leave you here. I don't want to ramble for too long. Let's get into chatting to the one and only Jamie Chadwick. Enjoy. Welcome to the Going Purple podcast, everyone. I am here with the most special guest. Now, Jamie, I just have to say, I just think you're the coolest person in the entire world.
I'm going to ruin it now because I'm on your point. You're going to be like,
I just have to say that to you because, I never get starstruck by anyone. But
don't say this. We're friends though, you can't say this.
You just have to know how cool I think you are.
Oh, I'll take that. Okay.
Okay, now
we can just leave it at that.
I mean, I've followed your journey for so long. So many people have. And, I think we all know the Jamie Chadwick now. Very, very successful. and you have been for so long, but I feel like I don't know anything about what Jamie Chadwick was like when she was younger, when she was growing up. Were you a bit of a rascal? What were you like growing up as a kid?
I wasn't. I was just, I think, because I didn't really grow up in racing. Okay. I was a massive tomboy. So yeah, like the short hair's come back, but it was bad. And I just had all my brother's hand-me-downs. I kind of just lived in his sort of like footsteps. And then that's why I actually started in racing, because I just did everything that he did.
No way.
So I was literally just a young boy growing up.
Yeah.
And I love sport. I love doing different sort of things. My parents were quite sort of free with us. They let us do kind of a lot of like outdoor activities. Anything we wanted to do, they'd let us try. And yeah, that kind of was the initial part of it. And then I started in racing. It was just a hobby. It wasn't something I thought was ever going to be more serious. So I didn't really specialise in it until I was maybe 16 or 17.
What were you doing? I mean, when you grew up in the UK, right? Mm-hmm. So when you're 15, it's kind of like, what are you going to be when you grow up? Did you have a plan of what you thought you may do?
I can't really remember. I feel like I used to say that I wanted to be a sports person or a racing driver, okay. But I never really believed it.
Got it.
I always had like backup plans of like, oh, what am I actually going to do?
Yeah.
And my, like, in terms of what like my actual job was going to be would change like week to week. Like, it would be like, I'm going to be a psychologist.
I know, it'd be like, I'm going to be a lawyer.
Yeah, exactly. Why not? Is that easy? Can I do that?
I watch Suits.
Yeah, exactly. And then I look at like actually the criteria and I'm like, okay, maybe no, that's not for me. And so I kind of never really knew what I wanted to do, but I always loved sport. I wanted to be something in sport ultimately. I felt like if I couldn't be an athlete, maybe there'll be another role for me within that. But I never knew it was going to be motorsport until I kind of really got involved in it.
And I mean, even since you started in your motorsport career, you've raced in so many different series, so many different types of cars, W series, but you've also tested Formula Regional, is that right?
Yes. Oh, I raced, yeah, I did a season of that.
Oh, okay, and then you tested Formula E as well. Mm-hmm. I feel like you've done so many things, and the goalpost of what the final destination was must have moved so many times.
That's a really good way of putting it. Like, it feels like you're younger and you start in the sport, and I feel like everyone's default answer is, I want to be a Formula One driver, and that kind of is what you aspire to be. You see it as a pinnacle, but then as I progressed through the sport, there was just so many different things that I was sort of able to experience. I actually went into sports cars before I even went into single-seaters, so I shut the door on Formula One, single-seaters entirely early on. I then fortunately had the opportunity to go back, and then suddenly I was like, well, maybe Formula One could be an opportunity, and that's when W Series kind of came into light, which was really what kind of transformed it for me. And then I had the opportunity to do Extreme E, so some off-road stuff, and I was like, oh, maybe I could do this. And it's probably like me trying to find my career. I was just like, maybe I could do this, that. Couldn't really pick out exactly where I was going to go with it, because I wasn't really managed from a young age either, so I kind of and my parents weren't from a racing background, so I kind of just jumped around different things. I didn't have a obvious clear pathway
crazy. It's kind of being a businesswoman in a way, of thinking, what's the best business decision for me in 5 years time, but also what's going to give me the biggest benefit and the most experience now as well. But you changed your whole life, did another 180 at the end of last season. I think I spoke to you in December, just as you had signed with Andretti. I mean, first of all, congratulations on everything you've done this season so far, but also with such a big change, do you feel like you finally kind of found a place where you can grow with some longevity now?
Yeah.
Do you feel like you've, not that you hadn't found your feet before, but do you think you've kind of landed for a little while now?
I feel that way. I mean, I think when I was in W Series, it was a huge opportunity, a huge chance for me, but it was always kind of what's next kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it was never that clear for me. I never had an obvious, okay, this is where you're going to go. And then when the Indy Next stuff came around and Andretti sort of started the conversations, it was for me a bit of a no-brainer. I was like, cool, this is where I want to be. This is what I want to do for the next couple of years or year or so. But then obviously there's the challenge with that, and it's not been easy for sure. It's been quite a big step in a lot of senses. But with that in mind, I have loved every minute of it. And with that, I think I feel like I'm able to grow here. I've been given the time, the patience from the team. And with that, yeah, I feel like I'm settling in. It's taken some time, but I'm absolutely loving it, which is, I guess, the main thing.
I mean, from the technical point of view, obviously moving over from an F3 spec car to this Indy Next car, from a physical perspective, I mean, that's something that, as close to the sport or as close as you work in the sport, that is something that us mere mortals will never ever understand is what it's like to be in the car. So give us a bit of an insight into what that change has been like.
That's true, actually. I feel like it's not, I guess one of the biggest misconceptions I think is with the sport is how physical it is. And with that, because it's not a sport that you can, or like with running race, you'll go to exhaustion and you'll cross the line and you can collapse. In motorsport, yeah. I don't know. Have you done a running race? But in motorsport, you can't do that. You can't obviously go to exhaustion. You have to have the mental aptitude, all these other things. And for sure, coming over here has been a big physical step up. W Series, as an all-female championship, it was managed a little bit in terms of the physicality. We don't have power steering with these cars, so you Formula One, you have power steering. Here we don't, so it is heavy. The races are longer, the conditions are quite often very hot, the tracks are pretty brutal. And so it has been a step up. I feel like it is possible, but it's just the understanding of that. It's especially for me, I train hard at home, but I get in the car and often the first sort of few races or the start to the season, it takes me a long time to adapt, and then I get sort of stronger throughout the year and I get the car fit. If I could be in a car every day, I would, but you can't be. And that's something I'm getting better with. But yeah, for sure, that's been one of the biggest challenges.
How much testing were you allowed prior to your season starting?
I think we had four or five days, but it was on a different tyre. So it was on the old tyre, which I felt like I got on top of. And the old tyre was generally a bit lower grip. So I felt like I actually felt a bit better about that. And the lap times were a bit slower, it was less physical, and then we got to the start of the year and it just felt like a step again. I was like, oh no. Which is great for the series. It's a great tyre that we run on, but it made it definitely more physical. And there's a couple of tracks, we went to Barber, and there's a few of my teammates that were sort of saying, oh wow, this is really difficult. And I was like, oh god, like I've got half the size of the arms, like I definitely need to work on this. So something I focused on, it became a priority, and we're getting there now, but it did take some time, or has taken time.
Yeah, learning a new grid, new teammates, new competitors, but also a new car and new tracks. When you got your first top 10, I was like, but then you also went to your first oval and did extremely well. But an oval is so different to a road and street track, right? They're very unique to American racing. Mm-hmm. What are they like to actually drive on? Tell me all about the experience.
It is fun. It is fun. I feel like a lot of people don't like know what, well, going into it, a lot of racing drivers don't know what to expect. And it's perceived as being a little bit, I think you leave your brain in pit lane and you just go out and you drive flat out. But actually there is a lot more to it. Yeah. There's a lot more technique. There's a lot more feel with it than I think people realise. And I think with that, the racing then becomes a completely different challenge. Something I found was weird, you obviously never slow down, so you're always going at a speed, whereas on a normal course you like have deceleration.
And
so
you're going one side.
Exactly. So when I was getting out of the car, I was feeling really dizzy and sort of walking a little bit off. Maybe that's why some racing drivers walk a little bit off. But anyway, I found that the more I did it, the first time I went out, I was like, this is all very alien. And I feel like you can prepare so much, but there's so much that you're just going to learn with experience with it. So I just kind of jumped in with both feet and sort of went open-minded. And I did enjoy it. I really actually felt like it's something that I'd like to do more of. Some people go the other way with that, which I'm happy I didn't. I was open-minded. I was either going to like it or not, and I did. So I'm looking forward to the next ones now.
Cool. So you're looking at this year as kind of like a learning year. Something to really build on, which I think is really exciting. You are so respected in the world of motorsport, and I think whatever you do, I can imagine so many people have followed you, their interest has followed you as you've moved to America. Have you moved to America?
Not fully yet. Actually going back and forth, which I'm actually quite enjoying, because I feel like I'm coming here and I'm so forth. Yes, exactly. I feel like Hannah Montana or something. I come here and I'm so refreshed. I'm like, I love it. I'm so excited by it. Everything's so new. But then I also have like the home life balance where it's not full time here, and I've got Williams as well in the background in Europe, so I've still got that to kind of help me over there. So I am actually enjoying going back and forth, but at some point I'm sure I'll jump ship.
You must be the busiest person with Williams with this. You've also taken up a broadcast role at certain races. Are you loving that?
I enjoy it more than I thought I would.
Yeah.
I have a lot more appreciation for you and
no.
for, no, honestly. And actually, not to kind of just sort of return the turn the compliment, but it's funny because it's really cool for me seeing so many new faces in sort of the paddocks and things. It's, I mean, everyone's great within the paddock, but it's nice seeing new people crop up and same as your journey, it kind of feels like it's gone so quick. And from a broadcasting point of view, it's by no means an easy sort of role. And I jumped in and just did some work with Channel 4 in the last couple of races. And I enjoyed it more than I thought I would, but definitely it's a challenge.
How do you find having someone in your ear all the time?
I think
that's
it's
the part that drives me.
I think I kind of, because I'm used to having people in my ear in
of
racing.
Course you are. At quite high speed, we should mention.
So kind of like listening to what they're saying and trying not to like react to it was one thing. But the thing I can't work out is I don't know how long I speak for. So they'll be like, you've got 20 seconds left
and
on this.
Like, no, you're right. So then there's 20
seconds. Exactly. So I finish my sentence and then it will be
like
3 or 4 seconds left. And then I just throw whoever's speaking, I'm speaking to under because they've got 2 seconds to say two words. So
I've done that. I'd be like, and that's all for now. And they're like, no, let's see, 2 more minutes. And I'm like, so we're going to walk
Exactly. That's the live stuff though that then gets a little bit trickier,
got
I guess.
It.
But no, it's fun. It is busy, but I'm enjoying that. I can't really complain.
You're an inspiration for so many people, men, women, all the motorsport community. But something I've always wanted to ask you is, do you ever feel the pressure or the weight of being, you know, this huge representative for women in motorsport to always say the right thing, to always do the right thing? Because I can imagine, I have a view of Jamie Chadwick and her journey, but I've never heard it from you. So do you ever feel like the narrative is ever kind of taken away from you and it's just a lot of pressure?
To a degree, yes. I completely feel like sometimes, I think, I know I'm maybe created it for myself, which I'm not against, but I think W Series gave me this huge leg up, this platform, but maybe a slightly unrealistic view on where I am. I think people maybe think that the perception was that I'm ready for Formula One, which I'm nowhere near ready for, and therefore, you know, I'm happy getting top 10s at the moment, but some people will think that that's me not having a good year at all. And I think with that, it's really important for me not to take the pressure of being, you know, the sort of standalone woman doing it, because there are so many other talented female racing drivers doing a better job than I am. Sophia got a 100%. Top 10 at the weekend. There's so many other women that are doing great jobs. That
it's tough that you both are the only women in that series, you know, so it's kind of like, oh, she'll do it.
Exactly,
you know?
And it's just the way it is, you know, if she or I do a bad job, then it's like, oh, well, that's just, you know, women in the sport. And if she does a good job, then it's the opposite. It's I think, unfortunately, the situation we're in, it's just so few.
Yeah.
I really think that the more women we can get involved in the sport's just going to help it entirely. It's great that we've got F1 Academy, all these new initiatives coming in and coming in with force. And I try and put as much emphasis on trying to make sure that the next crop come through don't necessarily have such sort of stigma attached to what they're trying to achieve or do. Because I strongly believe women are capable of so much in the sport that we just now need to really allow it to sort of grow organically and naturally, and see that sort of talent rise through.
And get them involved younger. I would love to see something in schools or be part of something where, you know, younger kids are being told they can do it as well. So to see F1 Academy, I mean, I have to ask, how do you think that F1 Academy and W Series can be different? And I mean, it was devastating to see W Series, you know, being removed as a sport and also being cut short early last year. But how do you think the two can be different?
It's a good question. I feel like W Series shocked a lot of people by the success of it. Because I remember when it was launched, actually it was not long ago, because actually I think it was a new technical director of Williams, Pat Fry, had made a phone call and I was told about it and I was like, that's a terrible idea. And initially I was very resistant. There's a few people around me that said, oh no, it'd be really good for you to do. And I was like, no, terrible idea. I kept shutting it down, And to be really honest, I did it because I didn't have really another option. But I didn't believe that it was going to be what it became. And then sort of years went on, it just grew in popularity, it grew in exposure. You know, I was able to get support off Williams, for example, for it. And so I think that's what shocked people, and that's what showed that there was a gap for it and space for something like W Series to exist. Mm-hmm. I don't think the business model necessarily fully worked.
Yeah.
It fully funded us all with quite a lot of prize money, which I think in terms of sustainability wasn't something that they could endure. But I think F1 Academy has a slightly different business model, but a similar kind of philosophy. And I think that will make it successful. I also think Susie being a part of it is going to make a big difference, because she's a powerhouse. She is very cool. She's a powerhouse. She's so well connected, knows it better than anyone. So I'm optimistic in that sense.
I'm glad to hear that. And also I think it's good that all F1 teams are, you know, part of this now. I want to ask you quickly about Andretti as well. Now being part of the Andretti family, of course, you're one of four drivers in the IndyNext team, and there's four drivers in the IndyCar team as well. What's the Andretti family like? Do you all spend time together? What's the kind of vibe in this team?
It's a great vibe, actually. I'm very lucky. I think, like, the whole IndyCar paddock's very open, actually, in comparison to what I was maybe expecting. Everyone's very open and welcoming. But within the team, it's great. We've got a really good dynamic. I've got great teammates. It's been a while since I've been in that kind of environment. So, it could have gone one way or the other, but we've got Irish, Australian, and an English guy with my teammates. So no Americans, which is quite nice, because we've got American, my engineer's American, a lot of Americans in around, and then we bring the kind of European differences. But no, it's good. We play golf together a lot in the weeks. Yeah.
You're such a golf player.
I know, but not a good one. I really enjoy it. And I think that really helps when I am away from home.
Yeah.
And it does feel far from home that I have people that I can.
I mean, that's tough. Like, traveling so much, being away from your support system from such a young age as well. How have you dealt with that? I mean, you must have to just back yourself so much, but also rely on your team and trust your teammates, your engineers, all the people you're around. But it must be really tough.
Exactly. I think it helps when you're around good people, though, for sure. And this year I'm really enjoying it. I've had years in the past where I've not necessarily felt quite so good about it. And it's been a harder year and a longer year. But I think generally I'm quite independent. I do quite like sort of being able to go and do this opportunity and have this opportunity and travel America, for example, on my own at times.
What's the weirdest place you've been to this year?
This year? Mid-Ohio was interesting.
It was quite wet there, wasn't it?
It was, but it never rained for our race. But it's just like driving there's just so much nothingness.
Really?
But it was nice. I really enjoyed the track. And Iowa was also kind of interesting. Iowa was really fun because actually my teammate Hunter and I played a charity golf event on the Wednesday before. And we met all these people that lived in the town Newton. And you meet like the headmaster at the school and the doctor and all these people, and it's just exactly what you would imagine an American sort of small
doctor,
little town.
Exactly.
So I was like, this is so insightful, and I'm enjoying that, to like being able to go to different places. Maybe before I had this chance, I really didn't know about a lot of America. So I'm absolutely loving it, and the people are so nice that it makes it a lot easier.
Well, I want to finish by asking you a question which I've been thinking about. I think being a racing driver, from my perception, is as important on the mental side as it is the physical side. But what do you think makes a successful racing driver? What are like two or three of the personality traits that you think you need to have to be a successful racing driver?
That's a great question. I think resilience above anything. You need to have a tough skin. I think independence, because I really think you have to, a lot of the journey you have to do on your own. It's a big team sport. There's a lot of people around you, but a lot of it you have to do on your own, and have the sort of self-belief and backing in your own sort of skin to do that. And then I think the third is, it's a tricky one to put into a word, but I always feel like something that you have to be very, or I guess adaptiveness, you have to be very open. You have to, never everything's going to go well, never everything's going to be the environment you want. And I think you just have to be open to change, to things not necessarily being exactly how you want them.
Also, I can imagine making the best of a bad situation.
Yes,
there's so much else going on.
Definitely. I think, for sure. And I think above everything else, you do have to enjoy it. I think any sport, if I look at anyone and they're not enjoying it, it makes life so much harder on yourself, because you have more low days and you have better days. And so those, for sure. Yeah. There's more tougher races you have than good races. And so if you're not enjoying it, those tough days are really tough. So I think enjoying it is is a big part of it.
Well, you're going to enjoy this weekend in Nashville.
I am. I'm looking forward to it. I hope the rain goes away.
I made a cowboy hat this morning.
Did you?
Yeah.
You made one?
Yeah, I went to a place and they made it for me. Oh. I put like crystals around it, my initials.
Okay, I might go there. You get a go there the lucky cowboy hat.
I mean, you have to buy one at least.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you own any cowboy hats, no. boots?
No. I went to Austin last year. Yeah, I know. And we went to the cowboy shop. Cowboy shop is that what it's called? The cowboy shop, the hat shop or whatever.
I'm going to bring that to life.
Yeah, exactly. And then, yeah, I feel like this is like Austin, but like level up. So.
Oh, 100%. Sure we'll see you on Broadway, Jamie.
At some point.
Well, sure. Thank you so much, Jamie Chadwick, Andretti Autosport Indy Next driver. Indy Next by Firestone.
Do you have to say that?
I have to say that.
Right, I've said it. Okay.
Thank you so much, Jamie.